Let us turn to the chapter of God's Word, which we read together in the Gospel according to Genesis, chapter 15, and let us consider verse 1, if the Lord may be pleased to help us. Genesis 15, and at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. Well, Abram obviously needed encouragement, and that's what he got. And the Lord knows when to give encouragement, and the Lord knows how to give encouragement. In many ways, Abram's must have been a very lonely life. Yes, he had Sarah, and he would have had Lot, and he had Eliezer as a servant among a multitude of servants, and Eliezer seems to have been certainly a man who knew what it is to depend on the Lord. But whatever difficulties Abram had, and there were many, there was the difficulty of having been promised a son, an heir. And years were passing, and he and his wife were both getting older. And it seemed more and more impossible as the days and the years went by. But still, he knew that the promise of God, it holds good. And yet, when a promise is not fulfilled, there is a great difficulty for poor creatures like ourselves, that is. If faith was perfect, there would be no difficulty with the promises of God. But you see, here is the Lord's goodness to Abram, that we will keep him waiting for years yet before he will give him the fulfillment of the promise. Still, he gives him encouragement, and he gives him encouragement in connection with many a thing, no doubt, with all the uncertainties of the future. He is saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Do not be afraid, Abram, whatever your circumstances, whatever difficulties you see, and whatever difficulties there are. You see, there are two great things set before him here to encourage him not to fear. One is this, I am thy shield. I will protect you, in other words. I will give protection. And the other thing is, I am thy exceeding great reward. Now we must bear in mind, in considering that matter, that it is all of grace. You see, if you are promised a reward, if you do a piece of work, for instance, there will be a reward. If you do a piece of work, there will be payment. Now you see, that's something that is yours by right. And if the payment wasn't made, and the agreement was secure, you could go to court to have that reward established further. Then you could have an order made that that payment must be made. Now that's one, that's on the human level. But you see, for one thing, even the good works, even what is to be rewarded in the people of God, it's imperfect. Abram's faith was remarkable, but it was imperfect. And at the end of the day, you see, He didn't deserve a reward because his obedience was imperfect. But you see, there was grace and there was the promise, and the reward would be given. And the reward will be given to all who are the children of Abraham. Poor though they may be, weak though they may be, helpless though they may be, sinful though they may be, this promise is to all of the Lord's people, not just to Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not. Now, I'm very conscious in speaking like this that what I'm saying does not apply to anyone here. Now, you see, whatever kind of life we are living, whatever is true of our hearts, the world has its own difficulties that we will meet. And there's death, and there's judgment, and there's a lost eternity. Oh, surely, 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 you need this. There's every reason to be afraid if you do not have Christ. And this is not being said to you if you have not found Christ. Now I know that there may be some who have found Christ and at least are not very sure about it. All the more reason to give diligence, as we were trying to consider last Sabbath evening. All the more reason to give diligence to make it calling and election sure. But you see, if you do not have Christ, If your sins are still your own responsibility, they've never been forgiven, what need you have to come and to come now? Come now. Yes. Come to Christ now before it is too late. Come and find refuge in Him. Unless we will notice that the idea of a refuge is not very far removed from the idea of a shield. You need protection. Come, sinner, come before it is too late, so that these words might then be said to you also. Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Let us try to notice three things. First, God as a shield. Second, God and the great reward. And third, the encouragement, fear not. First, I am thy shield. Second, I am thine exceeding great reward. Third, fear not. First then, a shield, a protection. Now, perhaps what was particularly in Abram's mind was all the potential enemies that were around. And he, it would seem, not long before this, had been involved in war. Lot, his nephew, had been captured. And he went to deliver Lot. Now that meant that he was involved in battle with his servants, and when others were taken captive, who were presumably much more numerous than Abram and his band, and these others were captured, still Abram goes on. And he is victorious with God's help. But it might be that when he came home, he was feeling, yes, I succeeded with God's help. But what can I say about the next battle? What if all the tribes round about me come against me to steal my animals, and I'm killed. What if all that happens? And that would have been a particular worry to Abram, given that the Lord's promise to him had not been fulfilled. He had as yet no son. Now, if that was the way Abram was thinking, then there was unbelief in it. That is true. But the Lord knows our weakness. He knows that we are dust. You see, what is said in connection with the father, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now, part of that pitying is to make promises. Part of the pitying, the Lord pitying his children, is to give promises. Now, the promises that the Lord's children today can expect are those that are in the Word of God. If they feel the authority of these promises, then that is the Lord renewing that promise to them in particular. And Abram was assured, "Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age." The Lord would protect. There was no question about it. Abram would be spared to have the promise fulfilled. And one promise backs up another promise. And that may be so in the experience of the children of God. They can be sure of one promise because they've got another one to confirm. The Lord, knowing that they are dust, and the Lord deals with them in their weakness to support them and to strengthen them. Well, what we have here is, "I am thy shield." Now let us notice what is the foundation of every promise, and that is the work of Christ. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's the foundation of salvation. That's something solid for you to live, to lean on, whoever you are, whatever you have done, however hard you have become. There is a sound and solid foundation for time and for eternity. There you have it. A sound and solid foundation for time and for eternity, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, it's because that was to happen that the Lord was saying to Abraham, "Fear not, I am thy shield." Now, as far as we are concerned, whatever enemies and whatever difficulties we might have, there is the roaring lion, the adversary, Satan, the roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour. Now there's an enemy. And what the children of God are being told is this: "I am thy shield." However strongly, however ferocious this lion may come, and a lion chasing an antelope or something of that nature, he can come with great power, come at great speed, and so can the devil. But what the Lord is saying to each of those who put their trust in him is, "I am thy shield." And the thing is, the people of God are to use that shield, the shield of faith in particular, the shield which is taken by faith and put between the person and the devil. Now, more than that, you see, The Lord as a shield comes between the devil and the belief. Now let me say something else. That those of you who have not yet found Christ, and perhaps what I should say is sought Christ, then you need a shield, not only for ordinary troubles, but for this, the danger you are in from the devil. Now think of that. Think of the danger you are in if you do not have the Lord as your shield to protect you. If you are open to the devil's temptation, oh, what a fearful thing it is when the Lord leaves sinners to themselves and doesn't protect them from the devil. That's a terrible thing. And you be careful about that. Take heed to your danger. Take heed to your danger. If you do not have the Lord as your shield, and if you are not seeking the Lord as your shield, take heed to your danger. Oh, what a blessing. What something that we should seek, oh, so earnest. I am thy shield. Yes. I am thy shield. Now you see, every one of the Lord's children has a right to this. Now, notice what you have in Psalm 91. And you have similar things in a number of Psalms. Very possibly in quite a number more than I noticed. But you have it certainly in Psalm 91, where the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Now to have the Lord as a refuge is to have him as a protector. And we flee to a refuge, if needs be, and we should be very thankful if we have never needed a refuge in any way. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. Now notice this, in him will I trust. Now, wherever there is a promise made by God, then our response ought to be, I will trust. I will take this promise as true. I will receive this promise. I will act upon it. I will recognize the truth of it. God, give me grace to recognize the truth of it. And God, enable me to receive it trustingly. To trust in the one that gave it, as we would believe Abraham did. I am thy shield. Well, even if it's not in the language of shield, if it's in the language of refuge and fortress, it's the same sort of basic idea. The giving of protection. In him will I trust. That's, of course, fleeing for refuge. Fleeing for refuge. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The terrible pestilence. The fowler out to catch a bird with his net. See, the one seeking a fowl. Well, that's Satan. And he's very clever. Whatever else we might say about Satan, remember that. Satan is very clever. Far more clever than any of us. Far. He's a fallen angel, after all. And he still has that power of mind. And he applies it with malice. I was very nearly saying with infinite malice, but that's not true. It's finite malice, but it's very great malice. Not Satan. But all this. If we are God saying, I am thy shield, then he will deliver us from seed and from many another problem. His truth, you see. There's another thing. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Well, buckler is just a small shield. But his truth, his faithfulness, shall be a shield. His faithfulness to his promises, you see. That will be a shield. That's what the Lord is saying. And may we believe, may the people of God, in particular in this connection, may they believe these promises. Yes, take it in the way that the Lord spoke through Moses to Israel. The eternal God is thy refuge, protection. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, support, protection again, but support. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before. Now the Lord may do that in connection with Satan, in varying degrees in this world, but of course, when the last comes to the last, the soul is brought to glory, there is a final deliverance from Satan. Or again, what you have in Psalm 5, thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. And that's part of the Lord's blessing. With favor. God's favor is a shield. Now, that again illustrates for us the need we have of God's favor. If we are to be protected from the devil, sin, and the consequences of sin, and all the evils of this world, then we need God's protection. And if we need God's protection, we need his favor for the sake of Christ. God's favor, how much we all need that. And we should realize that sin is an opposite to having God's favor. Our sins, particularly great sins, but every sin, how much it would tend to put God away from us. You see, when David sinned particularly seriously, he needed a renewal of God's favor. It's not that God's favor was altogether withdrawn, but he needed to have that favor renewed, in particular to have a renewed sense of God's favor. Yes. Oh, how much we need God's favor. And if we've got God's favor, for the sake of Christ, having received Christ by faith, if that is so, then, you see, there's this, that we have his favor, and his favor about us as a shield to protect us. Then consider David. This time as he speaks in Psalm 142, speaks about crying to the Lord and pouring out his complaint before him, and his spirit overwhelmed. He says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. He says that the heading of the psalm says that this was a prayer when David was in the cave. But I cried to thee, he said. No man could help me. And if you're feeling your need as a sinner, well, take this to heart. No one can help you. In the absolute sense. You may get help in the preaching, but that's the Lord fundamental. You may get help in what somebody says, but that's the Lord fundamentally giving you his word. That I cried unto thee, I said, you see, there's the exercise of faith. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. And you see the response to a particular promise should be faith. and the response to what we know about the Word of God. Supposing the Lord doesn't give you a particular promise in a particular situation, still, you see, you can go reading in the Word of God. You can go thinking through what the Lord has already said and what you know of what the Lord has said. And your response should be the response of David. I said, taking the Word of God as true. And you see, even although you're not among the children of God, this is your duty. I said, that's not the words that David said, but many another. I said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And bring the Lord's word to himself. Bring the Lord's word to himself and say, thou hast said. But you see, if you have obtained mercy, speak in these terms. Speak in these terms, thou hast said. And the question might arise, but has he said it to me? Well, if it suits your circumstances, then the Lord is saying it to you. If it suits your circumstances, and this suits the circumstances of everyone here, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus gave it to the world to save sinners. Take that and go with it. And especially the people of God are to take the promises. You see, they're all in one way or another suited to you in your need. Yes. Or, finally, what David says in Psalm 34, and one thing about that, you see, there was particular sin behind it. There's a particular act of unbelief in David's part when he went away from Israel into the land of the Philistines, into the land of the Lord's enemies. And however dangerous Saul was, the Philistines were potentially far more dangerous. But this poor man cried, says David. In my unbelief, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. See, I am thy shield. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the shield of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, and in particular, the angel of the covenant, Christ Jesus himself. And there's so many ideas there that we could follow through, try to any. But we must move on, but only after I've quoted this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, let the children of God taste again and see that the Lord is good, and good to them, and that blessed is the man that trusteth in him. But you, who are still unbelieving, you who are still in your sins, taste and see, come and receive the truth. For the truth is spoken to you. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, wherever you are spiritually. The Lord is saying, look unto me and be saved. The one who died in the place of sinners. But secondly, I am thy great reward. And as I emphasized already, it's a reward of grace. It's not a business transaction or anything of that nature. It's God's kindness, through and through and through. God's kindness in the beginning, God's kindness at the end, God's kindness at every point in between. God's kindness. I am thy great reward. Oh, thy very great reward. Yes. How great is the goodness of the Lord, even in this world. How great is thy goodness laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Now, the reward will send us to heaven in our thinking. Not so. But let us understand that the reward is not only heaven. There's a reward and many a reward in this world if we recognize what the Lord is doing for us, for the children of God. An exceeding great reward. How great is His goodness towards His children in the world, particularly if they speak in these terms about what their sins deserve. What their sins deserve, and that's not the way that the Lord is dealing with. He's dealing with you, child of God, according to His goodness. And believe that, because it is revealed in the Word of God. Now there's a need to look inside ourselves and see what is there. There's a danger in looking inside ourselves. That is, when we should be looking outwards, when we should be taking God at His Word and not stumbling over our own sins and our own unfaith. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Oh, what a reward there was to be for Abraham. Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, the Lord said to Abraham, so shall thy seed be. And no doubt that is true, as the picture is of a very great number, as far as his natural descendants have been concerned, it will be on further in time. But it's true about God's, about Abraham's spiritual descent, in that sense, as the father of the faithful, as the father of those who have believed, the father, in other words, the one whom they all resemble in one degree or another. I am thy shield, yes. I tried to speak about that. I am thy exceeding great reward. The goodness of God in His giving. Now that is not to be measured in this world in terms of great amounts of money, great amounts of property. That may be more of a hindrance to the spiritual life than poverty itself. Though the wise man said, give me neither poverty or riches. Now you see, that's something we're to leave in the Lord's hands very much. If we're in need, yes, let us bring our needs before the Lord. And whatever circumstances we are in, we're to remember the petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. But you see, Abram believed God. Abram trusted in God. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. He got what his faith was laying hold of, and especially salvation. The work of Christ to come in terms of the particular seed that was to come. You see, the particular seed, singular, as Paul emphasizes to the Galatians, that was Christ. Though there was this aspect to it, as we have in the verse here, verse 5, we have the natural descendants. Now we're not going to emphasize that just now at any rate. But, you see, Abram believed God, and the Lord was good to him. In grace, the Lord gave him salvation, and the Lord gave him a sense of salvation. And much we should be seeking for both these things, salvation and a sense of salvation. To be assured of the Lord's goodness, and how much. You see, it would add to the sense that the people of God may have of His goodness towards them, if they can realize that, yes, indeed, they are one of his children. Then you see, they can more readily lay hold of his promises. What is promised to them? They can lay hold of that so much more readily if they are saints, that they are among the Lord's children, and therefore that they are among those who have a right. Who have a right. Through Christ. A right through Christ. To the exceeding great reward. And how pitiful a figure Jeremiah would be if he didn't have grace. How sad when everything was collapsing around. When his people were being conquered, and when his religion was being almost swept away, where could he go? How still he can say, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him." There's still the exceeding great reward. Though many things are out of reach to me, a place in the land of Judah, which he loved, and where God was particularly worshipped, that was denied to him. He was dragged away down to Egypt by those who wouldn't take his advice, and more than that, they wouldn't take God's revelation. They just wanted to follow their own wisdom, and it wasn't wisdom, even on an outward level. But there is Jeremiah in the midst of trouble. And still, the Lord is his portion. And he would trust. Oh, there's faith there, and what an exercise of faith. And when his faith is his strongest, very likely in the depths of trouble, where was Jonah's faith strongest? In the bottom of the sea. "I will look again unto thy holy temple." And the Lord was good. The Lord was his exceeding great reward. But let us notice the particular or the special reward. When the reward is so clear, take it in the Saviour's parable about the talent. And there were two that came back. One had gained 5 talents and another 2. And in both cases they were told, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." Now, however that's to be understood, I'm not going to try to explode it. But what I want to see there just now is the exceeding greatness of the reward. The exceeding greatness of the reward. And that will be to those who have made any use of their talents. Now we've all got talents. God has given us talents. He has given us time. He has given us the Word of God. He has given us the preaching of the gospel. He has given us a degree of knowledge. He has given us an environment where there is some respect left for the Word of God. These are all blessings. Now, are we making use of these blessings? How much use do you make of the means of grace? How much use do you make of prayer meetings? Though God is speaking then. How much use do you make of them? But how much use do you make of the services you attend? How much use do you expect to make of this opportunity, this talent that the Lord has given? You've heard various truths spoken. I don't need to go further than that. You've heard various verses quoted, and something said about them which I trust is according to truth. What will you do with it when it's all over, assuming you're spared? As you go out the door, will you throw your talent away? Will it reach home with you? Something of what you've heard, whether you can carry it all away with you is another matter. Some have better memories than others. But if you carry something with you, you can carry the text with you, surely, if nothing else. And you can think over your relationship to that promise. You can ask yourself, am I a right to that promise? Well, the point just now is making use of our talents. And those who do make use of their talents will get an exceeding great reward. I am thy exceeding great reward. In other words, surely, I am the source of all the blessings you will ever have, and you will have blessings. That's what the Lord is saying to those who are trusting in him. However weak, whatever other evidence there may be that seems to point in the other direction, you see, if you have one solid reason to believe that the Lord has been gracious to you, then take it. Take it. If you have one solid reason that the Lord has been gracious to you, take it. And what the Lord is saying is, I am thy exceeding great reward, and how great that reward will be, altogether beyond what we ask or think. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Leave all the sadness behind you. Enter into the joy of heaven. Enter into the blessedness of heaven. Enter into the sinlessness of heaven. Yes. And to him, says Christ, that was to the church in Ephesus, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You remember Adam and Eve being sent out of the paradise of God because they had sinned and they could not now eat of the fruit of the tree of life. Everyone that goes to heaven will have that in a spiritual way at any rate. They will have the absolute assurance, whatever plagues of doubts and fears pursue them in this world, you see, they will have that absolute assurance in heaven. In their own minds, in such a way that they will grasp it inevitably. An assurance, an absolute assurance, that all will be well with them to the utmost bounds of eternity. Yes, the tree of life. To him that overcome, to him that through grace, and with help from above, they overcome the temptations of this world and the devil himself. They overcome the unbelief of their own souls. I, says the Lord, will be thine exceeding great reward, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All these things will pass away. All the sadness and the difficulties of this world, it is left behind. We know so little about the people of God in heaven. But you see, we know this. They are enjoying the exceeding great reward. Not just a reward, but a great reward. Not just a great reward, but a very great reward. That's what we have. In that sense, that's what we have in the world, is what I mean. But what I must ask you again is, have you any reason to believe that that reward is yours, that the Lord is speaking to you in these terms? I am thy great reward. I am thy exceeding great reward. Oh, how out of proportion it may be to what is being rewarded. Well, be it so. That's how it is. That's the great goodness. How great is the goodness that is laid up for the people of God in heaven. How earnest we should be to have it for ourselves. Well, thirdly, fear not. Now, on the one hand, we have this There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, to the ungodly, to the unconverted. No peace. What reason to fear? What reason to be afraid? What reason to be terrified? Now, there's no reason to stay terrified. But if you are still among the wicked, if you are still among the unbelieving, you have every reason to be terrified. To be terrified of the awakening that you will experience in going down to a lost eternity. Yes? Every reason, but let us say this. There is peace. Oh, what a blessed message. The message of peace. What a message it is that would come to besiege city when the enemy would send a message. We're at peace now. There's been a change of ruler back home. It's changed the whole policy of the nation. We're not going to attack anymore. Oh, it might seem too good to believe. But that's what it is. When the sinner comes to Christ and it's all changed. The message is coming to the sinner. Once they were full of warning, full of threat, and now they're altogether peace. Fear not. I am thy shield. I am thine exceeding great reward. Yes. Whatever spiritual difficulties they may have, whatever temptations, whatever weaknesses, whatever may be said to them about their sins, you see, the way Paul handles the matter in his epistle to the Romans. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? God is justified. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even on the right hand, who even maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore? And so he goes on, in that kind of strain. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall lay anything to your charge? Oh, it might be true, but who shall lay it to your charge? It's as if the devil or your own conscience would come to you with a writ if you're a child of God. And the Lord comes and snatches the writ out of the enemy's hand. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Fear not. That's what the Lord is saying. Fear not. And you see, even as far as temporal difficulties are concerned, and spiritual difficulties too, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. The many waters that might trouble. Now, of course, the first thing, if you are still in a state of nature, is this: that you would flee from the wrath to come. And the Lord is on the many waters of the wrath to come. Well, feed, that you might have him as your friend. And then, whatever else may trouble, but it may be much, still recognize this. Do not be afraid. The Lord is on high, is mightier than the noise of many waters. You see, however strong the winds have been, they only get as high as the Lord allows them. Whether there's extra problems with high tides or low pressure or anything that we have been hearing about over the last number of days, ultimately, we are to recognize the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. But particularly in connection with temptation or trouble, that is so. And so, you see, we're to take this. If we'll get tagged, we've got to take this to ourselves. Fear not. This, our response should be that of Isaiah. I will trust and not be afraid. Now that may be very difficult. All the more reason to cry to the Lord for help. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. A salvation from sin, yes, but no doubt as a deliverer from everything else as well. And when the disciples were afraid on the sea, Jesus asked, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" And then he rebuked the winds and the waves. But he asks, why are you fearful? He understands the fear. But the fear is unreasonable given the strength of the promises, given the one who is watching over all things, and in particular in connection with the disciples, the one who was watching over them in the boat. Oh, we're amazed at the disciples that they didn't trust. When Jesus was with them, surely all was well. However strong the waves, however powerful, however much water might get in the boat, they still wouldn't get swamped. All would be well. Ah, well, that's the way the people of God are to go through life. Trust. Why should they be fearful? Oh, I know what I'm saying. Although I'm saying that, what I mean is this. I know the weak. I know human weakness. But where will we go with our weakness? Where will we go with the waves? Where will we go with the power of the waves? Yes, to the one who may rebuke, but the one who may deliver. Yes. And just as the Lord was saying to Isaac, I am the God of Abraham, thy father, fear not. He says two things there. I am with thee, I will bless thee. So he says to all who are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. In other words, those who have, even if not the strength of Abraham's faith, yet they have at least a grain of Abraham's faith. And the Lord is saying to each of them, I am with thee. And he is saying, I will bless thee. And he is saying this, fear not, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, Lord. Give us grace, give us faith in Jesus Christ. Give us a true living faith, a living dependence upon the one who came into the world to save sinners, the one who has exalted a prince and a saviour to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Grant to draw sinners to thyself this day. Exercise thy power towards them. Bring them to thyself. And grant to encourage thy children. Speak to them encouragingly. Give them to see that they do believe, and make them able and willing to receive the further encouragements that are for them. May they not be afraid, but may they hear thee say, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. Be with us through this day. May we make good use of it. Meet with us in the evening. Come and bless us. Oh, come with divine power. Come to accompany thy truth to our souls. May we be brought to trust in the Saviour. Oh, work powerfully within us. Do not leave us. Make us in earnest. For the sake of Christ, oh, that we would be coming. In his name, given the greatness of the salvation that he has provided, And this readiness to dispense salvation blesses the biggest thank. May we derive benefit from thy word. May we remember our talents and help us to trade with them, to be good use of them. Wash away our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.